I invite the congregation to stand as you are able. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. O God, Father in heaven.
Have mercy on us.
O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy on us.
O God, the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us.
King of glory and Lord of might.
Deliver us from evil.
King of glory and Lord of might.
Save us in temptation and trial.
King of glory, you were enthroned in a manger at your birth. You were condemned through your life was holy, though your life was holy and good. You were brought by low, by rejection. You were marked with suffering and pain. You were judged by those you came to save. You were crowned with thorns and robed in mockery. You were wounded and bore in your flesh the anguish of us all. You were raised up and enthroned upon the cross. You were despised by men and forsaken by God. You were swallowed up in death and laid in a grave.
For us and for our salvation.
That we who were dead in sin might be made alive forevermore. That we who sacrificed our glory to death might be raised to immortality. That we who caused your suffering might be set free from suffering. That we who were made unclean by evil might be made holy and declared just. That we who raised you up on the cross might learn to walk in its way. That we who lost our joy might be led to rejoice in hope again. That we who live in fear might be granted courage to live by faith.
We ask you to hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
For your willingness to be born among us as one of us yet without sin.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For your choice to suffer in our place and die in our stead.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For your sacrifice that gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, keep us from passing by the cross and failing to acknowledge the love revealed there in the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus. Help us as we make our way through Lent and this time of reflection upon our Lord's crucifixion, so that we may be ever renewed by our contemplation of his suffering for our salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the hymn.
Thank you.
You may remain seated for the reading of the lessons. A reading from 2 Samuel, chapter 11. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself for her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." So David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." And Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. When they told David Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, "Have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah dwell in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. David invited him, and he ate in his presence and drank, so that he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of his lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and die." And as Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent and told David all the news about the fighting, and he instructed the messenger, "When you have finished telling all the news about the fighting to the king, then if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, 'Why did you go so near the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, the son of Jebusheth? Did not a woman cast an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died at Thebez? Why did you go so near the wall?' Then you shall say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.'" So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent him to tell. The messenger said to David, "The men gained an advantage over us and came out against us in the field, but we drove them back to the entrance of the gate. Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." David said to the messenger, "Thus shall you say to Joab, 'Do not let this matter displease you, for the sword devours now one and now another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, and encourage him.'" When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she lamented over her husband. And when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Here endeth the reading. We continue with the reading of Psalm 60. We read this responsively, and you may remain seated during the reading. O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. Oh, restore us.
You have made the land quake. You have destroyed the world. Prepare its bridges for its waters. You have made your people see hard things. You have given us wine to drink and made us stagger. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bog.
That your beloved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer us.
God has spoken in his holiness. With exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion of the vale of Sukkoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shall be crying.
Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom?
Have you not rejected us, O God? Do not go forth, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for the kings of salvation.
salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who treadeth on our foes. Glory be to Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. Oh, restore us. A lesson from the reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that it by you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tested that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be holy, priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Here endeth the reading. We continue with the hymn. You may remain seated. We continue with a reading from the Gospel of Matthew for our third lesson for today, Matthew chapter 26. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why did you do what you came to do?" Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him.
And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant on the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. This is the reading. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These readings are difficult as a pastor, and maybe they're difficult for you, because it's the account of our Lord who allowed himself to be arrested and to allow himself to be subjected to the cruel days ahead, the cruel days leading to crucifixion, a brutal crucifixion and death. And so grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ our King. Amen. A text for the meditation is the gospel reading according to St. Matthew, which we just heard. And it continues along the theme of the crucified king. Today's theme, the king betrayed. And as we look at the text today and reflect on it, I was thinking that in some circles it's a common practice to gauge the severity of sins, isn't it? In our world today, in our relationships, we often find ourselves looking at sins and sin in general and saying that, well, maybe some aren't so bad as others. That little white lie isn't as bad as saying lying to a spouse to cover up an affair. You see, we tend to look at sins and sin in general, and we try to measure and gauge them. And we try to measure and gauge them according to our worldly standards. But as we read today's account in the coming days of Lent, sin is sin no matter how we rationalize it. And that as we sing hymns and we hear the readings and we meditate on them, that our Lord and Savior was arrested, crucified for all sin, no matter its severity as we would measure it. And in looking at sins, we can look at sins in a way of passion. We can look at sins of rage. We can look at sins of anger. We can look at sins of lust. We can look at all types of sins. And we can think of people in the Bible, like Adam, craving for that fruit that he was not to have. We can think of David, which we just read, a lust for his loyal soldier's wife, Bathsheba, and taking messengers to grab her and bring her to him. Or you can think of Peter slashing the ear of the servant, or the high priest's servant. Yes, there are different types of sin. There are sins that are also cold and calculating, those that are planned and plotted. They take some thinking, some scheming, some calculating. You can think of Adam and his quick retort. Hey, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. You can think of David plotting and planning and scheming the death of his loyal soldier, Uriah, to cover up the affair with Bathsheba. And then as we just read in Matthew, Judas, how cold-blooded could you be to be at Jesus' side all that time and to then plot to have the very person with whom you spent that time quite intimately through the years arrested and crucified, betraying him with a kiss. You can consider how his cold heart plotted. It was a greed for money, perhaps, is how it started out. He didn't just steal some, though, for himself. He pondered how much he could get for his friend and rabbi. And then he checked in, you know, well, what's this going to, you know, what can I get if I turn him over to you? He had to get things in order. He had to plan. He had to calculate. As you recall, as Jesus told the disciples, one of you at this table will betray me. Is it I, Lord? Can remember the question. Planning the people to come and arrest Jesus, giving them a sign, which would ultimately lead to his arrest. All of these things culminating in a kiss of death, if you will. And the very one who chose Judas out of the 12, who befriended him, he taught him, he fed him, he loved him to the end. This Judas handed him over to the enemy, using a sign of warmth and affection. It's easy for us to sit there again as we compare sins and the severity of sins. Well, how in the world could Judas do that? How could Judas do that? I wouldn't do something like that. But yet, as we examine during Lent our own hearts and the evil schemes and plots that it will manifest as a result, have you ever put someone in a negative light? We're expected to speak well of our neighbors. Luther says, put the best construction on things. These things are easier said than done. I can go down the list. I'm not going to. We know as we examine our hearts during this season of Lent, I'm included in this examination. You see, Judas got 30 pieces of silver for his disloyalty. How many times have you and I been disloyal for less? Oh, we'll confess Christ unless it costs me too much. Repent. Repent. No matter the sins and how we try to compare and how we try to point fingers and how we try to excuse ourselves, all sins come from a heart opposed to God. And the heart of man is capable of all sorts of evil. Whether it's King David's lusting to Judas's betraying, we too are included among sinners whose present eternal punishment is what we deserve. We deserve that chair in hell's inner circle, if you will, and to be cast away from our Heavenly Father's presence, to be abandoned and be left. But you see, God has gathered you. He gathered you that you might sit and wonder as you ponder the good news of how God deals with betrayers through His Son Jesus, your Savior. He is merciful with them to the end. You see, Judas never caught Jesus by surprise. He knew this was coming. He would refer to at the apportioned time or at the given time The time is near, the time is not here, the time had not come, but now the time has come. The time has come. And he doesn't put up a fight. He doesn't say, look, here comes the traitor. He lets himself be kissed. He lets himself be arrested. And he even tells Judas, well, do what you have to do. He doesn't put up fight or opposition when they lay hands on him. You see, he wants to be handed over because he's to fulfill his Father's will perfectly for you and for me. And this is part of the plan. That Scripture be fulfilled. And that even betrayers be saved. Are you kidding me? Betrayers? Yes. Betrayers. Including you and me. So we stand and wonder as we see the will of the Father being carried out in this brutal, treacherous way. The Father, whose love for sinners drove him to think up a plan to deliver you and me from the foundation of the world, from the very beginning, as you recall, Genesis 3:15, early on, the plan was placed before us. And he planned ever since to save us from our sins and eternal ruin. God's love for you drove Jesus to do what no other father would do to his son, nor a son in obeying the Father. What other father would be silent to the cries of Jesus from the cross? Why have you forsaken me? What other father wouldn't spare his son all that mocking and injustice and cruelty? What other father wouldn't muster up all this strength and try to do something to stop all of this injustice and treachery? Only one, God, our Heavenly Father, who is faithful about His promise to deliver you and me an eternal kingdom at a price. The price is His Son delivered into death. God forsakes him, departs from him, abandons him for you and for me, for you and for me. So when it comes to salvation, there is no one more seemingly cruel than God the Father to His Son to hand the Son over for sins He didn't commit. But the Father's plan is exactly what Jesus is eager to carry out. The Father's plan called for Jesus to be handed over in the garden to the high priest, then to Pilate, then to condemnation, then to crucifixion. And it's all according to plan, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. That you and I be handed over from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of marvelous light, by and through His beloved Son, who has won redemption and the forgiveness of sins for us. And on that cross, Jesus bore all sins. All sins. And triumphs over them in the resurrection. But it took His being handed over and His blood being spilled for the kingdom to be given for us. So ever loyal to His Father, Jesus willingly gives Himself to the enemy that you and I may be baptized and be able to be presented before God the Father as faultless and holy and righteous. A better king than old Adam, a better king than lusting David, Jesus, our crucified King, willing to be betrayed in a most vicious way and to be handed over to die. But He did it so that you and I would receive the salvation. He did it to take our place, to receive that judgment, and to make us all pure. pure. And it's by and through his precious blood that he does this. It's almost a divine kiss of mercy to you and me. A kiss of mercy that goes through us each day of our lives. It goes with us. So it's my prayer that Holy Spirit continue to work in your heart's faith, hope, and a continued courage. That as you come before your Heavenly Father, confessing your sins, you are forgiven. You are loved. All for Jesus the King and for the sake of Him who died for you. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I invite the congregation to stand as we continue with the prayers. We continue on page 9 in our worship folder. Let us pray. Let us pray for all people, God, and for all those not yet of His kingdom. Lord, whose ear is open to the prayers of your people,
hear all our prayers for the sake of our King, Jesus Christ.
Keep us from being friends with the world and enemies of your kingdom. Bless those who serve you in the church, in every office, and those whom they serve in your name. Lord,
hear our prayers for the sake of our King, Jesus Christ.
Raise up wise and honest leaders who will act to protect us from our enemies and encourage virtue in all the people. Lord,
hear our prayers for the sake of our King, Jesus Christ.
Descend into the depths of our afflictions and despair and raise us up by your grace. We and all who suffer in body, soul, or spirit, we especially pray for Pam and Dorothy, Eleanor, Les, Sue, Mike and Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Francine, Glenn, Susan. We pray for our Great Beginnings preschool staff and families. We pray for missionaries and churches and all our service personnel, law enforcement and first responders. And Lord, we especially ask you, hear us now as we lift up silently those on our hearts and minds. Give us patience in our trials and confidence that your grace will support us through the day of trouble. Lord, hear our prayers for the sake of our King Jesus Christ. Open the hearts of our enemies and those who do not yet know you, that they may be converted to faith and believe in Jesus Christ and honor him with their good works. Lord, hear our prayers for the sake of our King Jesus Christ. Come to us in all our need that we may go forth and serve our neighbor in your name, showing forth to others your compassion and love. Lord, hear our prayers for the sake of our King, Jesus Christ. Open your word that we may hear the voice of our Savior and always believe in his name. Give us a renewed sense of the steadfast love revealed when our Lord stretched out his arms in suffering for our sake and for the whole world. Lord, hear our prayers for the sake of our King, Jesus Christ. Hear us as we pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude with Christ the King. The tune is on the back of your page, of your worship folder, page 11, and it's sung to the tune of the Lutheran Service Book, hymn 595.